Hello and welcome to the Hornets and Heartbreak podcast. My name is Mark Bernacki and I'm here with my co-host, Tim Rogers. What's up, Tim?
What it do, Ligger Mark?
I'm doing pretty well, man. The Hornets had their chance to shine tonight against the Nets without Harden, KD, or Blake Griffin. And instead, we played one of the worst games of our entire season. We came out looking shook, Tim, looking like we were too scared of the moment. We trailed 32-11 at the end of the first quarter. That is only 11 points in the first quarter. And we just never got going. Tim, your boy Malik Monk limped to the locker room in the fourth quarter. Perhaps the most heartbreaking moment of the game. How are you doing, Tim? We don't know anything about the severity of the injury right now, but how are you doing, man? You doing okay?
All things considered, yeah, I'm doing pretty horrible. Now, the Monk thing was a big bummer, of course. You know, just a nice shit cherry on top of the sundae.
Right.
This entire thing. But, yeah, no, let's dive right into the game. Let's not focus on my man Monk. I'm sure he'll bounce back and be stronger than ever, as always.
Yeah. Yeah, since we don't know anything about the injury, I think that makes sense. Like, we'll wait until we have news on that. But I hope he's all right. Before we talk about the game, dude, and get super dark, because the game was pretty depressing, I want to preface our discussion of the team by saying, like, we don't think any of this really means all that much. It was just one game out of a 72-game season. Probably was just an anomaly, like a bad shooting night and all that. But we're still going to talk shit about the team because, you know, we're Hornets fans and we're used to this kind of performance. And that's what we're good at. So, Tim, take it away. What were some of your observations about the game?
Yeah, man. So, yeah, this is just a seance. You know, this is nothing personal. We're right in our wheelhouse here. Let's get into it. Some of the observations, our offense, we really just laid a big old egg tonight. And what it, you know, every time we're on national TV, it kind of gives me the same feeling as, like, you know, we watch the Hornets day in, day out, but, you know, national television, it's a little different. You know, there's a lot more eyeballs on us. And it kind of reminds me of, like, when you're showing someone, like, one of your favorite movies, and you know, when you're watching it by yourself, you never notice any problems or anything. But then when there's another person in the room, you're kind of looking over at them and you're like, oh shit, like, man, that's kind of bad acting. Like, oof, man, you know, that scene doesn't really make a lot of sense. And that was pretty much what happened when the Martin twin, or when Caleb Martin, Cody Martin, goddammit. That's pretty much what happened when Cody Martin checked in the first quarter. And, you know, Biz is just throwing stuff off the glass. PJ, everything's rimming out. Kind of just looking around, like, checking Twitter, being like, ooh, man, I hope people aren't just roasting my favorite team. I swear, normally we play way better.
Yeah, dude, that's really true. I like that analogy, too. Just looking around the room, like, oh, shit, like, this scene kind of sucks when I'm watching it with somebody else. That's how I felt when Biz dropped a pass, like, the first 3 minutes of the game, just like a wide open, he had a wide open dunk and just dropped the pass and was unable to convert. Dude, until 5 minutes and 15 seconds left in the second quarter, not a single player on our team had made two field goals. The first person to do it was Devontae Graham with 5:15 remaining in the second quarter. Everybody else had one field goal except Devontae Graham at that point.
Pretty rough. I've heard about the Warriors G League team have a drill where when they're in practice, you have to either shoot or pass within a second of getting the ball, or else they just call, like, a turnover. And watching our team, it almost feels like when Borrego, when he runs practices, that the centers aren't allowed to touch the ball, because they get into the game and they're immediately flabbergasted of, like, why the fuck did Devontae just pass me the ball? Like, well, I just, like, totally wasn't expecting that. And yeah, and, you know, the lights were a little bright tonight for us.
Real. Yeah, it was tough. I mean, I would say I didn't expect us to win the game. Despite KD, James Harden, and Blake Griffin being out, I wasn't, like, super optimistic going into tonight. It just kind of felt like, you know, kind of game that the Hornets were going to lose. Too good to be true, if you will. We were 4-1 in our last five games. We were kind of just due for a loss, like, national TV or not. And yeah, I mean, I'm upset with the way that things went, being down by 21, getting skunked in the first quarter, Tim. that was not super cool. But you know, I think we'll rebound, and we never thought on this podcast that the Hornets are going to make a run for the finals. We've never said that. So, you know, losing to the Nets, very well put together team, even with their bench, they're super deep. And losing to the Nets, not the end of the world. It's the NBA.
No, exactly. You know, this one maybe stings a little more because it's on national TV, but if this was just a random Thursday night game at 7,
yeah,
I don't think it would be much cause for alarm. Did make me think, so, you know, Harden and Durant were obviously, you know, they were out tonight. And, you know, ever since, you know, there's been a lot of buyout talk and, oh, what should we do? And, you know, most people have been like, well, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge, he's washed. He sucks. Who cares? and tonight's game kind of made me think this is way off the wall. But, you know, it's one thing, kind of reminded me of the 2016 election. And, you know, it's bad enough if, you know, Donald Trump wins, like if James Harden led the Nets to a victory. Watching LaMarcus Aldridge lead the Nets to a victory tonight was if like John Kasich won the election. It's like, wow, I never saw this coming and it still hurts so much.
Yeah, you know how many points he had though? He only had 11 points.
Like, he only had 11. Yeah, what did he have? He had like 6 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists at halftime or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was playing well, but the spin on that was a little bit too much for me. Like, man, LaMarcus Aldridge joining this team, like Chris Webber was saying, like, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge is a problem, like him in the post. He's good. He's a good player. But yeah, that was a bit too much to say that like he was like winning the, it seemed like he was being anointed as like the player of the game, but like Jeff Green had a better game than LaMarcus Aldridge.
That was my big fear in the first quarter when Green had that big dunk and he hit a three. I was like, I swear to God, if Jeff Green has 27 points tonight.
He had 21.
So bad. Yeah, I mean, we can talk about Jeff Green outplaying Gordy Hayward another time. Later.
All right, cool. You know? One more. I was going to say, like, I found myself screaming at the screen more often than tonight, Tim. You know, my roommate wasn't around and, you know, Miles was passing up open threes left and right in the first quarter and the second quarter. Like everybody just looked scared in the beginning of the game. Like that seems like sort of, you know, stupid analysis that like a normal fan would say, but it genuinely felt like that. Like, I don't know if you got that same feeling, but it seemed like we just weren't playing like our normal offense. Like people were just like a little bit shell-shocked. I don't know. Everybody on the team definitely knew, you know, it's a TNT game. So they were a little bit nervous. And Cody Martin was doing his thing, taking like contested corner threes, airballing shots. Your boy now, Cody Martin. That also was getting me yelling at the screen. I was not too happy during this game, Tim. But looking forward to moving on. You got anything else about this game, Tim?
Yeah, I have a couple more thoughts.
All right, cool.
I gotta really give it to Gordy tonight for becoming a true Hornet and deciding to start caring about the game in the third quarter, down 25 points. I was like, wow, you know, you're really getting your lumps, feeling the culture. We gotta talk about Marv Albert real quick.
About him?
Yeah, we got to talk about Marv Albert.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Yo, real quick on Gordy. I'm pretty sure he started out the game 0 for 6 and then made his next 5 shots because he finished 5 for 11. Marv Albert, though, dude, he was naming all of our players incorrectly. So you texted me this one. I actually missed this one. He called Cody Zeller Tyler Zeller. Also called Miles Bridges Brooks. He just referred to him as Brooks at some point. And then the big one was him calling James Borrego Jim, just like throughout the broadcast. And I don't know if that, you know, James Borrego very well maybe goes by Jim sometimes. But, you know, Jim is short for James. But I've never heard anybody call him that before in my entire life. So I kind of doubt it. What do you think, Tim?
No, absolutely. I think that is just, you know, a senile man kind of, it kind of had the vibe of like, you know, when one of your friends has clearly had like 2 more drinks than everyone else. And like, no one kind of wants to tell him to shut up. And Chris Webber was just kind of being silent about it. At one point he was talking about the Martin twins and he's like, yeah, they are twins. out here, you know, Cody and Jalen. I was like, and it's like, you know, I could kind of see the train of thought. I'm sure he was thinking about Jalen and Jaden, got it a little mixed up there. But then at the end of the game, he had no problem differentiating Cody and Caleb Martin. He nailed it like three times. I was like, fuck. I was like, of all things, when he was reading ads, he was like doing the Samsung ads. I kept waiting for him to call it like fucking Stevensung or something. Just mix up the names on that as well. It was a true tour de force. When Chris Webber stands out as the best announcer, you have a real problem. And it just made me, as bad as the game was, I was just like, I wish I was just like at home with our beautiful Eric Collins and Del Curry.
Oh, that's hilarious. Dude, you know, real quick on the Cody Caleb Martin thing, somebody asked me like, or somebody in our Twitter comments recently was like, I can never differentiate between the two. And I was like, how could you differentiate if you like don't just know their numbers? And I was like, Caleb is number 10. Cody is number 11. A comes before O in the alphabet. 10 comes before 11 in numbers. So maybe Marv Albert was pulling that trick. I think that's probably what it was.
I think you're giving him a fair amount of credit there. And you know what? We'll take it. Two other things I have is the game was so out of hand that I think, you know, start of the fourth quarter, they played an ad for Army recruitment. And I was like, fuck it, man. Why not? I was like, maybe I'll just join the Air Force. I was just so beaten down by that. And so I'm reading Bill Russell's autobiography, Second Wind, right now. And, you know, he's getting into all the, you know, players from the 60s, you know, late 50s. And, you know, it's a common thing where people talk about, oh, man, if you put Gordon Hayward, you know, in a time machine and put him back in 1960, he's like a two-time MVP. Like, he goes down as one of the greatest players of all time. And I thought about it. You put Brad Wanamaker back into 1960, does he fucking make a rotation?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not selling me at all. Come on, Mark.
No? I don't know. What do you want?
It was more just Wanamaker slander. It's kind of...
Yeah, he played like 14 minutes tonight, but it was all in garbage time. So I have no takes on Brad Wanamaker other than what we've previously said, that he's not very good.
Would have gotten more laugh out of you if I said Cody Martin?
Yes.
I should have gone with, damn it.
Yeah. You're not going to get any Wanamaker. You're not going to just that easily transition into Wanamaker slander. The fans want to hear you talk about Cody Martin, bro, and Caleb Martin. They want to hear old Tim. Hashtag bring back old Tim. Dude, another disappointing thing about tonight, we got the backup TNT crew. So instead of getting Shaq, Chuck, Ernie, and Kenny, we got Shaq, D. Wade, Kyle Korver, and Adam Lefko. Adam Lefko. So that was a bummer. I saw a funny tweet. I retweeted it. It was like, Kyle Korver was on the bench somewhere, or I thought Kyle Korver was on the bench somewhere. Didn't know he was on the TNT cast. And yeah, that made me laugh out loud for like 5 minutes. Cause like, it's pretty believable that Kyle Korver is just like the 11th man on the Bucks right now, but now he's on the TNT broadcast. And also, I don't think Kyle Korver is very good at analysis. I thought he was like noticeably the worst person on the broadcast. He's like, just didn't bring any energy and stumbled around a bit. I don't know. Maybe he's getting used to it, but I thought he was not particularly good.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. When I saw that, I realized that, you know, like it wasn't Ernie talking. So I was like, oh, okay, they're the B team. I was like, oh, Candace Parker's going to be on. Sweet. Then it was Kyle Korver. I was like, man, this fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And then luckily for us, they just didn't talk about the Hornets at all in the pregame.
Yeah, they mentioned like two things. They're like, well, Melo Ball's hurt. And I was like, yes, very good, guys. Like, good analysis. all right. Notable Nets performers. We've already talked about LaMarcus Aldridge a little bit. Jeff Green, 21 points, his second highest points total of the season. Also, Tim, Kyrie Irving, the third best point guard in the league, had 15 points. 11 rebounds, I think, and 8 assists. Watching him play, Tim, is a lot of fun. Anytime you watch Kyrie, you're going to get like 5 sick highlights, and that happened tonight.
The third best point guard, you got to relax.
All right, who's better? Steph, Dame, who else?
Oh, now you're putting me on the spot. I'd take Kyle Lowry.
Get out of here. No Kyle Lowry. Nope. He's on the 17 and 28 Toronto Raptors. If you were number 3 point guard, yes, it wouldn't be 17 and 28.
Famous winning player, Kyrie Irving.
Look at what he's doing to the Nets, man. Single-handedly carrying this
team. Yeah, he was really tearing up notable defensive stalwarts. Terry Rozier tonight.
Kyle Lowry over Kyrie Irving is a wild take. That's wilder than my Trae Young takes. That is a wild take.
All right. Well, let's get into the Kyrie versus Trae Young thing, because okay, we were arguing about this before.
All right.
Okay. So Mark is a well-known Trae Young hater, blinded by some jealous rage of some sort. And he was just saying that it's outrageous to talk about them in the same breath.
It is.
And it is absolutely not.
Dude, okay, you're talking about Kyrie Irving, known winning player. Yeah, he is. He won the finals with the Cavs. The Cavs would not have won the finals if Kyrie Irving was not on that team. I'm not saying he's like 20 best player in the league. I don't know where I rank him exactly, but like, he's better than Trae Young, man. If Trae Young was a top 5 point guard in the league, then the Hawks would be making the playoffs this year, which might happen. Might happen.
What? Yeah, they're the 5th seed.
Okay. Are they the 5th seed? I mean, they're whatever. I know they've recently went on a run, right? But the Hawks would be better than they are right now. They would not be like in a lump with the Knicks and the Hornets if Trae Young were that good. They have a better roster than the Hornets on paper.
Would you want Bogdanovich on your team?
Yeah.
DeAndre Hunter, who is coming off a brutal injury, who finally started to turn it on. Are you really going to ride with Cam Reddish like that? You don't like John Collins that much. I mean, I don't think that's crazy. I think that Kyrie is the most aesthetically pleasing player.
Yes.
Of the last, like, even like 15 years. I think that 20 years from now, our kids will be watching highlights and they'll be like, man. So, I mean, Kyrie Irving was better than Steph Curry, right? And we will have to explain to them that is not the case. Kyrie looks great. I don't think, like, maybe this year I wouldn't take Trae Young over Kyrie. But honestly, I might. I think that Trae Young's a top 5 passer in the league. I don't think that their shooting is that far off. I think that if he had someone else that could actually, like, you know, kind of take the ball off his hands, I think that he has some work ethic issues as far as, you know, being willing to work off ball. But yeah, man, I think that 4 years from now, you're going to be like, damn, I was really wild.
Trae Young is better than Kyrie Irving at one thing in basketball, and that is passing and drawing fouls. That's it.
Yeah, those are two like extremely important things. And I don't think that they're that far off as far as shooting goes, which is maybe the second or probably the most important thing in basketball right now.
Right. But Kyrie's better than him at that. He's a better finisher. He's a better ball handler. He's a better scorer. I mean, he's better defensively. He's definitely better defensively.
Really? Really? Yes. He's like that much. You watch Kyrie and you're like, damn, dude, he's really clamping up Brad Wanamaker right now.
Yes, I do think that because Brad Wanamaker sucks. But yeah, I do watch Kyrie and think he's a better defender than Trae Young substantially. I'm not even saying that Trae Young couldn't be like, I don't know, the 4th best point guard in the league. all right, that's a bit of a bit. But you know, he could be 3rd best point guard in the league. But yeah, I think Kyrie is already there. So you got to give the edge to Kyrie. And also right now, Kyrie is just a better player.
I don't agree that Kyrie is just like a no question better scorer than Trae Young. Not going to go that far. Kyrie looks great scoring the ball, but these last two seasons have been his highest scoring season. Otherwise, he's never scored above 25 a game. He can't stay healthy. He's a coward. His beard is great. I will give him that. But yeah, no, I mean, the handle is definitely there. He had three great games in the finals. And that's kind of what his career obituary is going to read.
All right, but also, awesome. you talk about this like aesthetic thing, and like, I'm not even going to lie. That's a large part of my argument, Tim. Like, except all the other things I said are also true. But like, I just love watching Kyrie play. Like, and there's something to be said about that. You know, I don't like watching Trae Young play. I don't know why.
Here's my thing. Okay, when Kemba was in Charlotte, I was always a believer, and obviously I'm biased. We are on a Charlotte Hornets podcast right now. Like, I was always the belief, like, Kemba, like, prime Kemba is better than prime Kyrie. I don't necessarily know if I would rather take Kemba in a playoff series over Kyrie, but over the course of a full regular season, I think that Kemba would impact winning more than Kyrie did. I think that prime John Wall did as well. I think for a lot of his career up until like this year, when a lot of the point guards kind of died off, I think that Kyrie was kind of outside of the top five point guards. I think Kyrie might be the most skilled player to maybe ever touch a basketball, but I don't think that translates into actual meaningful success
in the regular season. It all comes down to your values, Tim. What do you value the most, dude? Regular season success or postseason success?
Yeah, man. Kyrie was really just tearing up those bummy Atlanta Hawks teams. He was killing TNT analyst Kyle Korver on switches. I'll give him that. But you're lost in the sauce. We've gone too far on this.
I agree. Team Trae Young. But also, people probably enjoyed that. We don't have that much to talk about anyways. Let's get to our questions. Questions come from our Twitter/Instagram. That is at Hornets Podcast. Again, that is at Hornets Podcast. Question from Typical Leaf. Biggest overreaction after this game, Tim?
Tyler Johnson would be the best player on the Hornets.
Tyler Johnson had 15 points on 5 threes, tied for the second most points he's had this season. And every time he shot the ball and made a three, I think I texted you like, Tyler Johnson, bro, like, what is going on? He was like a joke before the season. We did like, who does he play for? You know, remember that before our Eastern Conference preview, Tyler Johnson was my guy for the Nets. Like, I did not know he played for the Nets. And here he is dropping 15 points on the Hornets. All right. Question from Cameron. How big of a gap is there between the top three teams in the East compared to the rest? That would be the Bucks, Sixers, and the Nets compared to the rest of the East.
I think there's actually a division within there. I think that it is Nets and then second tier Milwaukee, Philly, then third tier.
Agreed. Yeah, I think the Nets are the favorites out of the East. I would put the Heat out of the rest of the East, like kind of in that Milwaukee Sixers tier. And then you can also make an argument for the Celtics in terms of postseason success. But there's a pretty big gap. There's a pretty big gap, I think, especially for the rest of the teams. No offense, Hornets fans.
Yeah, I think it would be very surprising if we fast forwarded to July and one of those three teams was not in the finals.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that being said, I'm a bigger believer in Milwaukee this year than I have been in past years. Got a lot of Giannis stock. I like their defense. I think that they'll probably pose the biggest challenge to the Nets out of anyone in the East. And I love Joel Embiid. I've kind of been like anti Ben Simmons, even though I understand what he does. I hate when people blow you up and like, oh, you only care about scoring. It's like, no, I just maybe want him to be able to shoot a fucking jump shot. But I wouldn't be surprised. Like, if Boston beat Philly in the playoffs, I wouldn't be that surprised, even though I do think that Philly is regular season wise in a different tier than Boston is. I think the Heat could beat Philly. I think the Heat could beat anyone other than the Nets.
Me and you have talked about this before. I mean, the Heat made it to the finals last year. I'm a pretty big believer in them. Like, come the postseason, I wouldn't be surprised if they're in the Eastern Conference Finals. I would be surprised if they made it to the finals, but I don't think you can rule it out also.
Yeah, I don't think so. And, you know, it's really – let's just stomp on the grave with the Celtics, though, real quick, since we are talking about other East teams. Boston fans are so fucking insufferable. I'm so happy they're two games below 500 and both of their superstars, when they're like, oh, you can't trade Jason Tatum for Anthony Davis, is you have a star who is averaging like 2.5 assists a game and is streaky from three. Oh, it's so beautiful, man. I kind of hope that they just lose to, really, like, I would love if they lost 4-1 to the Heat in the first round. That would bring me to tears.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Andy Wagner asks, over under on national TV games next season. What are you setting it at, Tim? And this is TNT and ESPN games, not including NBA TV games.
Yeah, because those are fraudulent games. They do not count. I would set that at 5.5.
Cool. Yeah, we had the one TNT game, and now we have another ESPN game in the second half of the season. So my logic was the NBA already knew LaMelo was like a big attraction, and they still, you know, we still only got like two national TV games for the second half of the season. Bump that up a little bit because I think there'll be a lot of like Hornets buzz going into next season. So 5.5 sounds about right. 2 times 2 is 4. 5.5, just a little bit above that. I'd probably take the over though.
Yeah, I would as well too. You see how they've, you know, like Zion is just such a weird entity. It's kind of hard to gauge anything off of that because like the way they've just built the schedule around this fascinating, albeit fat superstar, is pretty wild. So, you know, somewhere in the middle, obviously we don't expect those type of numbers. TNT games are just extremely hard to crack. Yeah. You know, you have to assume that, you know, back end, those are going to be heavy on Lakers, Nets, Clippers games, and ESPN games, you know, pretty heavy on West Coast matchups. So you kind of have to break into the first part. So yeah, I think like 5.5, I would take the over on that as well. I think somewhere around 6 or 7. But you know, I wouldn't, you know, don't get outraged next year if we have 4 nationally televised games.
Yeah, no, I mean, that'd be sick compared to previous seasons. just being on TNT was a wild experience. Austin asks, best alcohol to help forget tonight? Also, a similar question from my sister, who asks, what is the best drink to drink during a Hornets game? Two separate questions. One of them is more extreme. We want to forget tonight. Question from Austin. The other one's from my sister. What should we drink casually during a Hornets game, Tim?
All right. So if we're talking casually, yeah, I'm a man that tries to save on carbs, just like we all do. This pandemic's been hard on everyone's waistline. That's why you crack open a nice claw, you know, just a nice little white claw, a seltzer. You have 3 throughout the game. What you got, Mark? What are you drinking during games?
All right. So as everybody knows, I'm a big Miller Lite guy, but I do like a good IPA. So, you know, I've been getting into craft beer here in 2020, 2021. So, I have to go the opposite way of Tim. I have gone from like Miller Lite, healthier, less calories, to heavier beers. But I also want to give a shout out to the Hornets Budweiser Mitchell and Ness can. That can is sick. We've posted it on our social media a little bit. And Tim, you bought me a couple. So I appreciate that. Tim, what would you drink to forget the game tonight?
So take notes on this one. It's called a Miller High Life cocktail. So what you do, get yourself a nice champagne of beers. Make sure it's a bottle, not just a normal beer can. That's disgusting. So get yourself a bottle. Take yourself 2 big old swigskis out of there. And then you fill whatever you took out with some vodka. And then you mix that piece up. And you will forget about the game within a drink and a half, guaranteed.
All right. I have nothing that can rival that. I was going to say like White Claws, which was your best thing to drink during the game. So I can't rival the Miller High Life cocktail, Tim. I can't do it. All right. Shout out to everybody who supports us on Patreon. Tim Rogers, Xavier Harvin, TC Cunningham, Isaac Black, Brandon Garcia, Austin Johnson, Rob McMillan, Evan Georges, Caitlin Ferland, and Jack Anderson. Big shout out to everybody for supporting us. It really means a lot. And if you sign up now, you can hop in for our next Zoom watch party. The first one was a big success. In April, we'll have another one in April. I said April twice. I meant March and then April.
Yeah, no, once again, thank you so much for everyone that does it. Really means a lot to, you know, an up and coming podcast. We had a great time, you know, meeting with the fans and, you know, just bouncing ideas off. It was a great time, and we hope that, you know, more people join us. And, you know, everyone, just thank you for listening. Really appreciated. You know, if you could share with a friend, rate, review, subscribe, it would really mean a lot to us.
All right, Tim, that just about does it.
All right, Liquor Mark, be safe out there.
All right, peace, bro.
Peace. Or really, I prefer a communal pipe. Smoke a little bit. I think gets you through the game. There's no carbs in smoking.
We're not going to promote smoking on the podcast. I'm going to take that out. But anyway, okay,
that's fair. All right. So just go straight to the claw.